The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Well, we're going to continue on this topic. We've been going through the least likely. It's so true what Jeremiah said this morning. God will use anyone, even those we least expect God would want to use. Amen? And what I'm going to do something this morning is that it's funny. You need to know this. Jeremiah spoke on what he spoke, the scripture and everything, the name of the topic last week. That sermon was in my heart prior weeks to that. Like after today, I go into my studies Sunday night, tomorrow, already looking for my next sermon. So he kind of, it was everything he used was I prepared. But I'm going to do something different. I'm still going to springboard off what Jeremiah said last week. We're going to be on the same topic, basically in the same scriptures, but I chose a different scripture that matches with Luke, which is in Matthew. If we would turn to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. Matthew 4, verses 18 through 20. It says this, "And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Verse 19, "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Verse 20, "They immediately left their nets and followed him." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this great morning, God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fill this place, God, and that you would just help us to be receptive this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit to hear your voice, hear your teaching, and hear your word, God. Just help us to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people says, amen. Well, like I said, this is a topic that I'm going to springboard right off where Jeremiah left off. And I'll be using scriptures out of Luke. But it's interesting because God will use whoever he chooses to use. And I called it Keep Your Guard Up because I had to change the name as well. Because I believe today and even then, people have dropped their guard. And I mean that spiritually. If you are a follower of God, if you're a believer of God, or you believe in Jesus Christ, and at times we will drop our guard. It's so easy to go the other way or follow the trend, follow the crowd. And God's there. He's always there. Even when we've dwindled or walked away or doing our own thing, dropping our guard. And I say this because it reminds me of a story I shared probably a couple years ago at Remnant. And I want to repeat the story to you about a young man that also dropped his guard. He was a young teenager, 14, 15, in high school. Loved Jesus, got saved at a very young age. And he decides just to start Bible studies, witnessing to all his friends. At the football games, he had his Bible. He'd go have Bible studies after football games. And he said, "I'm always going to follow Jesus. I'm always going to serve you, God. I'm going to tell people about Jesus the rest of my life." And he does this. And then he goes into college, meets new people, new friends. And he's still on fire. And he's still doing his thing, having Bible studies and witnessing just that fire for Christ and the believer of God that he was. But little by little, the crowd started pulling him the other way. Little by little, he started getting pulled away. And this young man's technique or talent was high diving. He loved to high dive. He also had went to college to make it into the Olympics to become a professional high diver. And that's what he'd do at nights. After he was done with his Bible studies, he'd go real late at night and close his eyes and dive into this pool at night that they had there for these guys to practice. And he did this every night. But when the partying kicked in, he started forgetting up a Bible study. He started partying and drinking and hanging out with all the wrong crowds. And little and lo, behold, he just forgot about God. He forgot about Jesus. The Bible got lost, dusted under some other books that shouldn't have been there. And he was partying and doing it all every day, every weekend, every chance he had. Forgot all about God, dropped his guard. And sure enough, one late night comes in, a little tipsy, and he decides, I'm going to go practice my dive again. And there he is on the high dive, about 20 feet up. He's just there, and it's pitch dark. And as he's opened his eyes, he's ready to dive. As he opens his eyes, from a distant light behind him, in the dark, there's a casting shadow on the further wall in front of him. As he's standing there, he sees the cross. And immediately he remembers where Jesus brought him from. All the Bible studies he was doing, all the people he was reaching. And he felt so convicted and broke and still didn't cry. Climbed down, went back to his room with the other guys he was rooming and passed out. 5 a.m, there's a big hustle and bustle. And he's like, what's going on? His roommates, get up, get up. He goes, what's going on? You got to come see this. So he runs out there and they run into this huge gym. And there's a fire department and people and there's caution. He goes, what happened? Did someone die or what? He goes, no, you don't understand. Last night at some time at night, the pipes broke and the pool is empty. God was there. God will use that man. We're ready to dive into things that's going to hurt us, folks. We drop our guard. Our loved ones are into things that could hurt them. And they're ready to dive in, eyes closed. And God's love's there. God saved that man that night. And we can be that way. We can drop our guard. And that's why I wanted to stay on the same topic. Peter was a perfect candidate not to be chosen by God. I could understand why he used Paul. The apostle Paul was smart, studied, came from a good family. He knew all about scripture, the law. Very intelligent, very work-orientated, highly educated, motivated, disciplined, and purpose-driven, and goal-orientated. Yes, I can see Paul being used. But Peter, really? As far as I can see, this man was the least to be qualified. The least. Kind of like we can feel, right? Me a Christian? Me follow Jesus? No way. I'm just a regular person. Well, hello? That's what he uses. Look at me. An ex-drug addict, 22 years. And he turned my life around. And he'll turn your life around. But you got to let him. You got to want it. I was ready to dive into that empty pool too. Die on dope. Die on drugs. I was headed in that path. And his love, he said, Frank, I'm going to use you. Congregation, I want to use you where you're sitting at. Peter talked a lot. He said all the wrong things, very emotional and hot-tempered. Said the wrong things, offended people, argued with people, was proud, arrogant, uneducated. Because fishermen weren't educated. The disciples that Jesus chose, most of them were just fishermen. It was a good trade to do, but you didn't know anything but to fish. That's all he knew. So Peter did a lot of things wrong around Jesus Christ and in his time. He was totally, seemingly, completely, 100% chosen to be not the most likely. You know what's funny? Jesus told him, on you I'm going to build my church. On you, congregation, he can build this church. We're pillars sitting here waiting to be used by God. Ready to be transformed in the ministry he's calling you to serve in your church. Under your leaders, under your pastors. I've said this 100 times. Yes, I'm a pastor here alongside Jerry and Jeremiah, but Victor doesn't grasp this yet. He's my leader. We always go back and forth texting, no, you're my leader, no, you're my leader. He is my worship leader. I do what he says under the music scene. Frank, play like this, change it, you messed up, great. I respect that he's my leader. You need to know also the order of leadership. And Peter didn't have those qualities. And we can have those qualities. We can be missing the mark. And God is just wooing you. But why would he use Peter? My first point is this, which I have 5 this morning. And I'm going to go quick because I want to get them all in. My first point, why he chose Peter? Peter had an obedient heart. And because God just chose to choose Peter, God will choose you. Peter had an obedient heart. Why do I say that? Look at Luke 5:3. It says this, stepping into the boat, Jesus walked Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught and the crowds from there. See, Jesus just gets in, like Jeremiah said this last week. How do you feel when people just take your spot, your seat, your drink, or they're in your area? Get offended. Hey, that's my spot. We're sitting there. Don't you know that's mine? We can be very possessive. Folks, let me tell you something. Where you live, the job you have, the clothes you wear, the finances God gives you, they come from God and they belong to God. This belongs to God. This building is God's. Amen? And Peter had that obedient heart. And prior to this, I like this scripture. Prior to this, you won't find anywhere in the Bible that Peter knew Jesus. Or that they even said hello to each other. That they hung out. There's no record of him knowing Jesus at all. And what's good about this obedient heart is he didn't get mad. He said, no, I'm not going to help you get out of my boat. Peter could have had many excuses. He could have said, you know what, dude, I'm tired. I've been fishing all night. Don't you know how I am? I'm Peter the fisherman. Fished all night. Get out of here, crazy. You want to use my boat? Can't you see I'm washing the nets? Didn't you see me and my team? We're tired. Many excuses he could have used. On top of that, I don't feel like helping you. I didn't catch anything. He could have took that poor attitude just like that. But did he? No. He looked at him. He was in the boat, pushed him out, and continued working. That's an obedient heart. And we have that type of heart, but we choose to harden it. We choose to turn our face. We choose not to do what God is calling us. See, I like this part because Jesus just gets in the boat and tells him, push me a little out. You know what? As I study what spoke to me in this part when Jesus just comes into the boat, you don't have to raise your hand, but remember when you first got saved, you said, Jesus, come into my life, change my heart, I'm a sinner. Boom. Now he's in your boat of life. He's in there. To me, personally, my perspective view of studying God's word is a perfect scenario of when we invite Jesus into our heart. But now we have Jesus, but we still want to live the way the world lives, the way we want to, the way we call shot. Not what scripture says. And at times, as believers, we go around them. We just choose the ones that work for us. Reminds me of a scenario I had yesterday at work that I shared with my wife. I love my coworkers. The dispatch guy was messing around my phone because I lent him my charger that he kept over there by his computer. Cool, I didn't say anything. No big thing, it's just a piece of wire charges phones. Long story short, I went and charged it yesterday. I went back to my desk across the hall, and I come back a little later, and I walk in there kind of laughing. I knew they did something with my phone. Sure enough, I look at it. He put his picture right there with his soccer team, that's Chivas. I looked at it. He looked at me. Oh, Frank, don't get mad. I know you don't get mad. Anyway, I go, I'm not going to get mad, but I'll tell you two things, I said. First, I'm going to show it to my wife and tell her you took the spot of our picture. Oh, no, don't tell her. And then I told him, and secondly, go read a First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Why? Just go read it. Paraphrasing the text, it says, work hard with your own hands and mind your own business. And he comes into my office, dude, you always get me with scriptures. I go, no, I don't. God does. But I love you. God bless you too. See, there's a way to handle people, the way to talk to people. I kept my guard up. I could have got upset. Dude, don't be getting my phone. By the way, I love my new wife and you ruined my picture. Why did you move my things in my phone? We can get personal with a little gadget. I didn't. I kept my guard up. I said, Jesus, I'm going to just hammer him with your word and love him anyway. God does it. So Peter had an obedient heart. And the least likely, God chooses people that are going to just have an obedient heart. Some of us struggle to want to do anything for God because our heart ain't quite there yet. You need to work at it. Just do what you're told. Or what God's word would say in the scenario of that moment. Obedient heart is important. That's what Peter had. Secondly, Peter had a teachable heart. Luke 5:4. We move on to the next verse. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, being Peter, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets and catch some fish. Peter answers, Master. Simon replied, being Peter, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll let our nets go down. I like this part too, and I'll tell you why I like it and how it spoke to me. First, Peter must have thought, deeper? Why deeper? You need to know Scripture, and if you study it, the nets they used were for shallow water. They weren't for deep sea fishing. If you go look up these words in text, in context, the Greek words were used, that they were just for shallow waters, the nets they used, and pulling fish, schools of fish that were swimming in the lower areas. They weren't for deep sea. And he thought, deeper, man, this guy does not know what he's talking about. But what happened? He brought in a huge 2 boatloads, right? Why? Because Jesus said they would. Okay, I spoke about earlier, Jesus is in your boat of life now when you ask them in your heart, right? You're living for Jesus, right? Sound like a movie in the horror, right? 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 Okay, now he's telling you, go a little further out. Jesus, it's not going to work. I'm going to go out here and witness to my boss and try to get along with my wife, and I'm going to try to change my ways as a mom, as a co-worker. But the nets, Jesus, they're not going to work. You know what the nets, what the Holy Spirit showed me what the nets are? Those are your gifts and talents. That's what it amplifies to me. I don't know how it's speaking to you right now, but the nets they had is the skills. God gave me a skill to drum. Now he's giving me a skill to speak, and he's giving me a skill to love people. Those are new nets I carry around now that I like to throw out once in a while. See, the nets were the skills they had. But Peter didn't doubt him. He had a teachable heart. But remember, Jesus is always going to push you for it's further. You cannot be comfortable as a believer. It's going to be rough sometimes. And folks, when you're going through those rough times, the Bible says rejoice. God's doing something. And if you're going through a lot of hard stuff personally with people, it's because there's something in your heart. Are you having an obedient and teachable heart? See, if you have these qualities of the least likely chosen by God, it's going to be a little easier. Am I a perfect man? No. And for a second, when I saw that he grabbed my phone, like, oh, man. The first time I thought, was, Olivia's going to get mad. There's a guy in my phone. She could think other things, too, with that picture. I don't want to go there. We have to have a teachable heart, folks. Peter had that. He just, okay, let the nets down. God is calling you to something deeper, friends. He's always going to challenge you every day. It could be family problems. It could be finances. It could be sicknesses. It could be, I'm going to keep mentioning, I don't know why, that coworker. Because I work with sailors, man. I have to bring up coworkers. It's hard to work around them. But God's grace. He goes, Frank, your nets. Okay, Lord, I'm going to love them. I'm going to use the nets you gave me. The skills of love. The skills of understanding. The first thing I think is, you know what? I don't know what they're going through today, so I'm just going to humble myself and let the day go through. They're probably going through something bad. And no, right away we forget our nets and snap back, react back, or don't do. I know in this room God's calling all of you to do something for your church and secondly something for your family, because that's the biblical order. It's God first, then your wife and family, then your church. You're all called. If you're in Remnant Church, you're a part of this body, he's calling you to serve somewhere at some capacity. And you cannot tell me you can't, because God will tell you different. I won't, but God's word will. Because we all have an obedient heart. We all can have a teachable heart, but you must want to. You must want to go a little deeper. Has it been easy? All the things I went through with my past wife passing away, at times when we didn't have money, on times when we lived on food stamps, on times where she ran me out of the house to leave and I would not leave. No, it was not easy, but I was working. God was working in these areas in my life to hang in there. It's going to get better. Like the people before the Red Sea, they thought they were going to drown, and God opened a sea for his people to cross, and their feet didn't even get muddy. It was dry ground. Again, that was the scene of SeaWorld. Remember, man thinks he invented SeaWorld. God invented SeaWorld first, because they're walking by, they could see the fishes. It's just a joke. Totally kidding. So God's calling you to go deeper. Let him work on your teachable heart. All our hearts right now have a heartbeat. But they're covered with something. What's covering it? Pride, anger, selfishness, arrogancy. Oh, I can't. The poor me syndrome. Folks, I never thought I could be up here speaking. I was the last person I thought would be up here speaking. And the first person. Now you can't shut me up for Christ. Why? Because I'm letting God work in my heart. I'm trying to guard it. It's evil above all things, the psalmist says. It's wicked and deceitful. Your heart will deceive you at times. God said it. That's why we need to keep our guard up. God cannot, does not, and will not use persons that are stubborn or unwilling to learn. Let me say that again. God cannot, does not, will not use persons who are stubborn and not willing to learn. I put that note in there for myself because I was that man. I was so stubborn. I was set in my own ways. I wanted to drum in concerts and have all the partying scene going. And when all this time I should have been drumming in a church for God, He gave me those nets to drum for His kingdom. Not for me, not for you, but to worship Him and bring His presence in to minister to the church. And I'm using the nets the way He wants me to. Like Victor said this morning, he hit it on the nail. What he sees every morning is because I'm up praying already, I'm rejoicing because I'm alive first. And secondly, yeah, I'm trying to pass the vibe to my coworkers, but it's rough in the morning here. We really don't want to be here this early. We wish we can leave it all set up. But hey, remember the people in the desert in the Old Testament? Always remind me and Victor, remember they had to go put tents everywhere God moved them. Put another tent. Raise it up. That's us. But He's challenging us. He's checking our hearts. How much do you love God? How much do you really believe in the Jesus you preach about? Where's your heart at? Is it teachable? Think of Moses. Remember Moses? He was born in Egypt. Taken to Egypt. He was a prince. God couldn't use him then. He grew up, was around good things, money. He had it all. He was Pharaoh's son. It's like being the president's son or daughter. He had it made. God couldn't use him then. God could not use Moses when he was the prince of Egypt. But what happened when He took him to the desert, to the hard times, to nothing, to living in tents, tending animals? God started speaking clearly to him. See, when we're in our lives of noise and things and other things that clutter our lives, you're not going to hear God. When you're setting your own ways and just following the system, you're going to be clouding God's voice all the time. Until Moses went out to the desert, he used them mightily. How about King Saul? That always tried to kill King David. Remember the Old Testament? I don't know how many Bible scholars are here this morning. King Saul grew up a soldier, and God chose him to be the leader of Israel, the king. But what happened when Saul grew older and wiser? He became greedy and arrogant and wanted power, and he was jealous of little David. God couldn't use him anymore. He used him at first. He'll use the heart that's teachable and obedient and willing. How about Paul? Paul was full of his religious rules and regs. I know the Torah, all the way from Genesis, all the way to the New Testament. I know it all. What did God do to Paul? He blinded him on the road to Damascus. Why? Jesus wanted to show him how blind he was spiritually. He was taking these laws and killing people that believed in God just because of a belief. And folks, wake up. There's people being killed right now. Right now, people are dying for the gospel in some remote jungles. They're taking God out of everything. I was speaking to a brother earlier. Jesus is coming back. And a lot of Christians are dropping their guard and thinking everything's going to be okay. And the Bible says it in Revelation. Everyone's going to be marrying, working, everything's going to be normal. And boom, Jesus comes back. Then you wonder, where did my cousin go? Where did that pastor, uncle mine go? Well, guess what? They're gone. Are you ready? Is your guard up? Are you truly living for God? This sermon makes me really zealous because it speaks of my life, how far I was, how lost and blind I was in the things I was doing, the drugs I consumed, the alcohol I drank, and all those late nights that I'm not proud of. God woke me up to that. He lets me see with His lens now. You need to put on God's lenses, and what is it? God's word. And go apply it. Let it make your heart obedient and teachable. And thirdly, Peter had a God-fearing heart, which is most important. Look at Luke 5:8. When Simon Peter realized that what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." That's how I feel sometimes when I'm up here. I'm going, "God, how can you make me a pastor when I'm a sinner? How can you help me speak to these people, Lord? I'm not all there." He goes, "Yeah, Frank, get up. I want to use you. You have that obedient heart. You have that teachable heart. Yeah, you'll mess up, but you don't give up." And that's what he's asking you this morning. Keep your guard up. I question myself. Ask my wife. She always tells me, "Frank, don't say that. Sometimes I don't feel worthy of being up here. But I do my studying. I do my praying. I pray for you. I pray for the church. I want to do what the Bible tells me to do. Am I perfect? No, I'm a sinner saved by grace, like Victor said in the beginning. But I'm eager to keep going. I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Moses. I want to look like Jesus to people." But you're not going to do it if your heart's not in it and your heart's all full of roots and weeds and crud and your guard's down and your anger's up and your pride is just floating on top. You're not going to be there. You're not going to be there. You need to have a God-fearing heart. Why did I put that? Because when Peter saw the two full boats, he was afraid. Why? Because he knew only God could do that. And the way I speak, this passion, this zeal, this, I don't know what you want to call it, it's because I know what he's done for me. And I want the people to get it. The church to understand that a powerful living God changed this heart that was hard and evil and dark and lost and going to hell. And that's what I want to express to you, church. He's powerful. There's nothing he cannot do. He can do anything. But you got to have the fear for him. And I don't mean, "Oh, it's God, I'm afraid." No, reverence. A revere for him, a respect. "Hey, Frank, I know you're with your wife tonight, but let's just go to the bar real quick. You don't have to drink. You just hang out with us." No, I choose not to. I fear God. I give him reverence. "Frank, it's just one. It's not a big deal. Please don't let me judge you if you do. I just chose not to drink no more, but I'm trying to find a scenario to you so you'll grasp your scenario wherever you're stuck or fighting. You can just say no. And show you fear God and say, you know what, God, I used to live that way. All that crap was what made me mess up. All this junk I did was what made me fail you. And I don't want to fail you no more, God. It's struggling. Sometimes I want to look again, but forgive me, God. I want to keep going." That's what I want to pass on to you folks. The fear of God, that kind of fear. Remember what God says. Just follow me. What about the other guys that were there? Remember there was other guys there? "Whoa, gee, Peter, look at the catch." And Peter's over here before Jesus. He knew he was in the presence of God. And these other guys, what? They were too focused on the things, on the catch, on the fish. People today are so focused on the gift and forget the giver. That's why I said earlier, you better be grateful for the house you have, the health that you have, the children you have, your marriage, your colleagues. Be grateful, man. Because God will take it if he wants to, because he's God. You have a problem with that? You look in the scriptures. Call me later. We'll talk. That's reverence. Are you fully submitted? You know what irks me sometimes with followers is this, because God did not let me practice it. He taught me well and is continually me teaching me to be humble. People want to get into leadership and their discipline shows something else. Their ethics show something else. Their ethics, their character shows bad fruit. That's another critical fruit you need to have. You need to have a good character for God and only know you're doing it for him. Not for your glory, not to impress anybody else. I was up early this morning praying, "God, don't let this be me. Let it be you speaking to your people. I don't want them to see me. Let them hear your voice, God. Convict them. Convict me. Forgive us." That was my prayer this morning for us. Reverence for God. We've lost it. There's no more fear of God. Today it's far gone. and these other guys missed it too. Today, the fear of God is gone, and we've put our guard down. We have forgotten about the presence of God. This is where our society, I believe, the world, the followers of God, most of them, not all of them, most of them are in this scripture, Matthew 13, 15. Jesus says this, "For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." See, we're all right there. Peter knew it was God, and he feared God. And some people are missing the mark because they don't believe God can do it. I was speaking to another brother earlier this morning, witnessing to another believer in a different church, saying that he didn't believe in the risen body of Christ when he went up. If it says Jesus flew up when they saw him leaving, it's what it says. If you have a hard time with that, then you need to check your heart. You need to tell the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. You know how God made the word real to me in my life? The things he's put me through. The hard times, the suffering, the hurting, the pain, the crying, the indifferences between family members. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where God humbles your heart, or you harden it and drop your guard and leave. Amen? God is speaking, folks, to all of us. He wants you to grasp this. It's not coincidence. Me and Jeremiah had the same sermon. And folks, trust me, when I heard him last week, I loved what I heard. And all week I prayed, God, what do I do? I need to change my sermon. You know what he kept saying? Preach it again from another perspective. Preach it again from another perspective. That's all I heard. I didn't want to tell Jeremiah because he probably would have made me change it, and I don't want to change it. Sorry, Jeremiah. He had one view, I have another view. The reason I use Matthew, and I'll point it out, you notice it, how Matthew just said, or Jesus walked by, called him a fisher. Luke was more detailed. And that's what me and Jeremiah have done. We brought out the details. And all I'm doing is springboard of what he said, just tagging on to another scenario of another perspective of what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us through the life of Peter. Amen? You're all Peters in this room. You too, ladies. It's in you. It's in you. You need to work it out. Talk to God. See what he can do. He's going to show you great things. He shows me great things every day, even if they're the most minute. Like, whoa, we have the same sermon. How powerful is that? God, what do I do? Use it again. Yes, Lord. How awesome is that? It's not coincidence, it's divine appointment. God wanted you to hear it again from another view about our hearts, though, this time. God is concerned about your heart, folks. He wants your heart. He wants you to give him reverence. He doesn't want you to drop your guard. And our hearts are far, as Jesus said. What else did Peter have? He had a repentant heart. Look at Luke 5:8 again. Lord, leave me. I'm too much of a sinner. When Peter saw what had happened, he knew God and he knew his sins. I don't deserve this. Ask my wife. Sometimes I sit with her in our new home and I'm like, wow, God, I don't deserve this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I brought you through some hard times and you have trusted and obeyed. You have trusted and obeyed. It has hurt you, Frank. I have tested you and you've obeyed. Is it going to be easy, folks? No. But you gotta keep going. Keep your guard up. You need to have a repentant heart. Throughout history, God has only used those with the spirit of repentance. Look at Isaiah. He says that he was a man of unclean lips. Isaiah, this guy was a huge mega prophet in scripture. And he said, I have unclean lips. What words are you coming out of your mouth? And that mouth, we worship him. Oh, God. We need to have a repentant heart. Paul was of no use to God until he blinded him. Until he blinded him. My life, I was blind. I was blind all my life. I have never seen life greater, more spectacular, more awesome than now. Through the lens of God. I've never seen people like I do now. I empathize. I hurt. People tell me about people passing away. People tell me about people having sicknesses. It hurts in here. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. When Lazarus died, he cried. By the way, if you want to memorize the scripture, that's an easy one. Learn that one. This is what it says. And Jesus wept. Then you can say you're a Bible scholar. There's a verse you can memorize. Oh, I don't know how to memorize scripture. And Jesus wept. There you go. Then you can tell a little story why he wept. His friend died. But he rose him up. There's a lot of Christians today that are dead. Jesus wants to wake them up. Playing church. Sitting in the pew. Saying all the right Christian words. Throughout history, only God will use those with a repentive heart, because we can get attitudes. It can be poor sometimes. The Holy Spirit doesn't have that kind of attitude. The Holy Spirit always wants to love. The Holy Spirit always wants to serve. And the Holy Spirit always wants to do what God says to do. Amen? We feel like the least likely. Problems arise. Things go wrong. And our faith is put to the test. And found wanting, then our actions betray our faith. When we feel like the least likely, our problems will arise, or things will go wrong, our faith is put to the test and found wanting, your faith will deceive you. A person whose faith is genuine will act and live according to his belief. See? I believed I was going to be this famous rock drummer in the world, and Satan had me the whole time. He used me to do all those evil acts and stupid things I did and that dark life I led. What a lie. When I could have been serving in a church, serving his wonderful light and wonderful people that love God too. Don't be deceived. Keep your guard up. Peter had a living and active faith. This is what I put. I challenge you to work on your active, genuine faith for Jesus. We have put our guards down, folks. Look what it says in 1 John 5:21, and I'm almost done here. Worship team, come on up, please. 1 John 5:21 says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." Let me read it again. 1 John 5:21, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." Anything. Folks, there was many things in my life I would put first. And I keep saying partying because that was my life. Drinking and drugs were my life. And all those other acts that come with that lifestyle. I want to serve God now. I want to keep my guard up. Do you? Where are you at? I'm going to close with this. I hope that you don't think you're unworthy or unqualified to serve the Lord. Simply because we lack the credentials and external qualifications, instead I hope we all would feel inadequate or unworthy if our heart is not right before God. See, it's all about the heart. You can be playing the part. You can be looking good. Let me tell you this, even if it's going good in your life, break before God and cry to him and tell him, "Thank you, God. I've been thanking him so much. First of all, for this wonderful church. My family's coming once in a while, which is awesome. I have a wonderful church family. I know you guys love me. I love you. Wonderful pastors to work next to. An awesome worship band. Man, I love playing the drums with them. If you can't tell already. But I do it for God. Because I was so lost, my guard was down." Keep your guard up, folks. Let's stand up and pray.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled our hearts.